Radio Prague News.
The Minister of Education has dismissed the head of the ministry's investments division over suspicions of corruption. The Czech Center in New York says that former Prague Zoo director Petr Fejk may be leaving his post there. And the Czech women's basketball team got off to a winning start in the World Championships being hosted in the country. The Minister of Education, Josef Dobeš, has bowed to pressure to dismiss the head of the ministry's investments division, Michal Pilin, over suspicions of corruption. The dismissal came hours after Czech radio reported on Friday that Mr. Pilin had already been forced out of the Ministry of Education once before for alleged manipulation of tenders. The minister defended Mr. Pilin on Friday, saying he did not believe he had done anything wrong, but made the dismissal in order to put an end to media speculation. Mr. Dobeš said he had not yet read an audit carried out by the previous education minister, which allegedly proves Mr. Pilin's involvement in suspicious orders that led to the loss of hundreds of millions of crowns. The former director of the Prague Zoo, Petr Fejk, appears to be in talks to leave his new post at the Czech Center in New York. While the center has confirmed there is a chance the well-known manager may be leaving, the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, which runs the centers, has denied such speculation. Mr. Fejk took up the head position at the Czech Center at the beginning of 2010. Since then, he has complained of lacking the authority to implement the vision he was hired to put through, such as involving the center in more business. Mr. Fejk has been credited with turning the Prague Zoo into a world-class institution in his 12 years there and was frequently named as a likely candidate for Prague mayor in the run-up to this year's local elections. Police and the state prosecutor have charged a city official in Znojmo with abuse of power as a public official. Four other people from the private sector were charged with bribery. The charges came a day after the police raided the municipal offices of the South Moravian town and allegedly found evidence of corruption in the departments focusing on property and development. A town hall clerk was arrested on Thursday afternoon and remains in custody. Police have said that no elected officials are under investigation. The investigation is believed to involve a 2009 tender for construction work carried out in the city center. Charges were also filed on Friday against 13 members of an armed anti-theft unit of the power company ČEZ, who are suspected of having used illegal methods of coercion against debtors. The men face up to 6 months imprisonment if found convicted. Many in the Czech Republic were shocked by video footage of the ČEZ controllers, which became public earlier this year. Its members were seen dressed like commandos and carrying out paramilitary-like training. The Czechs women's basketball team started with a 67-53 win against Argentina in their opening group match in the World Championships being hosted by the Czech Republic. In the other game in their group, Russia beat Japan 86-63. The 16 team competition is one of the biggest sports events of the year in the Czech Republic and is taking place in Brno, Ostrava and Karlovy Vary. The Czechs, currently the sixth in world rankings, are thought to have a chance of being amongst the medals. Now turning briefly to the weather, currently sunny and warm conditions are expected to sour at the weekend, with showers and highs of 15 to 19 degrees Celsius forecast across the country over the coming days. My name's Christian Falvey, and that's the end of the news.
You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Daniela Lazarová. Coming up in today's program, a two-day training exercise at the Temelín nuclear power plant shows room for improvement. Brno gets a new tourist attraction, a clock that has evoked mixed reactions. We'll bring you a roundup of the week's business stories, and in today's arts, we hear how the English cabaret group, the Tiger Lilies, ended up doing a bilingual theatre piece in Prague.
We seem to have built up a kind of a following, a cult following amongst Czech people. It's been great, actually. It's been really one of the best places we play, really. We love Prague.
All that coming your way, so please do stay with us. The The sound of sirens set in motion the wheels of a nightmare scenario at Temelin, a nuclear leak that would threaten the lives of hundreds of thousands of people. The two-day training exercise held this week went through the motions of a crisis scenario involving Temelin employees, integrated rescue forces and local officials in order to ascertain their action capability and degree of coordination in the event of a real disaster. The biggest fallout was that the governor of South Moravia was informed about the nuclear accident with a 30-minute delay. We called Viera Starostova from the Office for Nuclear Safety to find out what went wrong.
As far as I can estimate, the delay was caused by other duties performed by the shift engineer. Shift engineer is the person responsible to operate the nuclear reactor, and my estimate is that the cause for the delay was just with respect to his performance related to the nuclear safety of the nuclear reactor. So my personal meaning is that the delay is not so important, and moreover, the shift engineer is also responsible for starting of warning sirens. And following the sirens in the Czech Republic, we have the first application of the countermeasures which are necessary for the public safety. And people should follow the instructions, and it means switch on the radio and the TV and follow the information. And this information contains also order to stay at home, to shelter themselves, and to be ready to use the kalium iodine prophylaxis and to expect another information.
So what you're saying is that even if the governor was not informed immediately, there was an emergency operation underway, is that right?
Yes.
Doesn't the shift operator have any help? I mean, could not somebody else have stepped in and called him in his place? Or
No. Only one person can be responsible for the safety, and this is him.
And as far as the emergency rescue operations were put in motion, so to speak, everything went according to plan, as it should.
Yes.
Is that so?
Yes. And it is necessary to mention that two plans are in fact in place. One is the so-called on-site emergency plan. This is the plan which is applied to the nuclear power plant itself. And the other one plan is the so-called off-site emergency plan. This is the plan which is prepared for the so-called emergency planning zone. This is the area in the vicinity of nuclear power plant. And this is the plan which should be followed by all the rescue services and all the persons who are responsible for the public protection in the affected area.
Now, the main criticism that we're hearing from NGOs is that people are not actually informed enough about what they should do, and that the rescue operation does not take into account the possibility of panic, people jumping into their cars, driving away, causing traffic jams. I've read recently one woman who lives in the vicinity has said, well, yes, I get brochures about what I'm supposed to be doing, but I don't really read them. So do you think that the public is really sufficiently informed about what to do in the event of a nuclear disaster?
Yes, I think the public is sufficiently informed, but the other question is if the public is active in the informing. On one side, the information brochures with the information what to do in case of radiation accidents are delivered to each household in the emergency planning zone. The other way is to read them. And, you know, this is the attitude of each person who is living in the vicinity of MPP if he has time or if he is willing to read it. I know that the operator is obliged apart from this preparation of this brochure, so he is also obliged to organize the meetings for the people in the villages, in the cities, in the vicinity of a nuclear power plant, and they organize them from time to time, but the attendance is very low.
Right, right. So people are clearly not very worried about
the
possibility.
I am afraid that the people are lax, or whenever the emergency is not so near, so they don't care and they don't have no time to go and to take part in active preparation.
Vera Starostova from the Office for Nuclear Safety reporting on the outcome of a two-day training exercise at the Temelín nuclear power plant. Now, moving on, the South Moravian city of Brno has a new attraction. The city hall recently unveiled a new clock in the central Freedom Square, which officials hope will become a new symbol of the city. But many locals snigger at the 6-meter-tall object, and not just because it's quite hard to tell the time from it. Jan Richter has the story.
Every day at 11 a.m. people gather around the new clock at Brno Central Square, trying to catch a glass ball that comes out of it, only once a day at this particular hour. The new object, a 6-meter-tall obelisk made from shiny black granite, stands proudly in the square, but many people complain the clock does not really give the time, while others mind its provocative shape. Since its inauguration on Saturday, the tall, phallic-like object has been called a giant vibrator and even the country's most expensive penis. Some of the people who came for the unveiling on Saturday had this to say.
I think this is really foolish. Can you tell me what the time is? You see, you don't know, and you have to look at the church clock over there. You can't tell the time from the new clock. For 12 million crowns, they could have done something better.
The granite is nice, otherwise I can't see much. It's there on the top. I don't think I'll be able to see what time it is.
But Brno's new clock, which took 3 years to build and cost some 12 million crowns, has also many supporters, particularly among the artistic and intellectual community. One of the clock's creators is a student of architecture, Petr Kameník. He says he is happy about the response the clock has stimulated.
Look here, it has the shape of an obelisk, which has provoked people for thousands of years. Everyone can see in it what they want. It's great that people talk about it, because it's up to them. No one can tell them what to call it. Everything needs a name, and people are coming up with their own ideas.
The concept of the clock harks back to an episode of the 30 Years' War, when in 1645 the Swedish army laid siege to the city for nearly 3 months. The invaders were about to prevail when the city was saved by the bell, which rang at 11 a.m. rather than noon, a deadline set by the Swedes for capturing the city. To commemorate that, the glass ball comes out an hour before noon. And as for the difficulty with telling the time, Petr Kameník says the clock is in place where the time has a different pace.
You need precise time at a train station and places like that. But in the city's historic centre, where people might want to stop and talk or just hang around in the square, I think that time should be measured differently. Not mentioning the fact that it does give the time, although it's a bit complicated to figure it out.
People never know which part of the clock the ball is going to emerge from. The first ball to come out was lost when people standing by failed to catch it before it disappeared back inside the clock. Brno City Museum, which wanted to keep the first glass ball adorned with the city coat of arms, therefore had to wait for another.
Jan Richter with that report. And now, this being Friday, it's time to bring you a summary of the business news, for which I'm joined by Chris Johnstone.
Czech economic confidence slipped slightly in September for a second month in a row. The overall confidence indicator slipped to 91.7 points from 92.5 points in August. Confidence had been growing steadily throughout the year until it fell for the first time in August. The index stood at 78.8 points in September 2009.
Good news for those shopping for a top high street retail location in the Czech capital. Prague retail rents have fallen to 27th place in a global ranking this year from 22nd in 2009. The survey by international real estate consultants Cushman & Wakefield still puts Prague as the most expensive retail renting location among the four former Soviet bloc countries in Central Europe. Prague rents are almost twice those of Warsaw and four times as much as Bratislava. The consultant's expert for city center rents and leases says companies are no longer willing to pay through the nose for top sites in Prague, but he says there are still many big retailers lining up to get a foothold in the capital.
But the country's third biggest retailer, Tesco, says it wants to launch internet sales in Prague next year. The Czech capital has been targeted for the internet experiment in 2011 alongside Shanghai and Poland. Internet sales have already been a big hit in Britain, where online sales grew 14% so far this year. Sales of food, clothes, as well as music and film downloads are offered by Tesco there. Tesco operates 140 outlets in the Czech Republic, 14 years after entering the market.
It has been a pretty uneventful year for the Prague Stock Exchange, with no major new listings and much talked about initial public offerings still where they've been for a while in the pipeline. But one piece of good news has come the exchange's way this week in the form of an upgrade in the exchange's rating by international index creator and marketplace evaluation company FTSE. The company has upgraded Prague from a secondary emerging to an advanced emerging market, along with Turkey and Malaysia. The market's rating agency said this was a reward for changes in investment practices and regulations.
The new head of Škoda Auto has rolled out the target of doubling annual production to 1.5 million cars within 10 years. The biggest Czech carmaker is expecting to produce 750,000 cars this year at domestic and foreign plants and sell 770,000 cars. Board Chairman Winfried Varland says increased production is needed to keep pace with sharply rising demand in countries such as China, India and Russia. He says some of the new Škoda production should be sited in those countries. The expansion roadmap also sees the Czech carmaker coming up with new models such as a small utility vehicle.
A reminder for latecomers that you're with Radio Prague, coming away from the Czech capital here in Central Europe. Now on to our main feature today. The English cabaret group The Tiger Lilies have built up a strong following in the Czech Republic after performing here countless times over nearly two decades. Now the band have taken that relationship one step further with a specially commissioned show at a Prague theatre featuring Czech language narration. Ian Willoughby has the whole story in this week's edition of The Arts.
A song performed by the Tiger Lilies as part of the bilingual show Zde jsem člověkem, or Here I Am Human. Described as a musical morality tale, it's just enjoyed a short but successful first run at Prague's leading avant-garde theatre, Divadlo Archa. A bowler hat and braces-wearing cabaret group, the Tiger Lilies have built up a committed following in the capital and elsewhere in the Czech Republic since first performing here in the early 1990s. Martin Žák is the band's singer and accordionist.
When we first started coming here, we were just a very small, unknown band, bar band, really. We used to play in bars. So we came to the Czech Republic and suddenly we were playing in places like the Rep Ray, in front of 1,000 people. So that was exciting for us, because, you know, before that we were just playing in tiny little folk cellars and bars. But we played in a lot of bars in the Czech Republic. We've been all over, played in loads of different clubs, rock clubs, jazz clubs, folk clubs, all over the Czech Republic and all over Prague, really. So that was 20 years ago. And, we've been coming back ever since. We seem to have built up a kind of a following, a cult following amongst Czech people. And it's been great, actually. It's been really one of the best places we play, really. We love Prague.
Antelopes and lions, clear visions have the best.
The director of Archa Theatre, Andrei Hrab, says the Tiger Lily's enduring popularity with Czechs may be related to a similar worldview.
I think this is this way of grotesque humor which is in their songs, and that this is something what Czechs always like. They also anticipate the world with some kind of bizarre humor. You know, if you read Jaroslav Hašek, or you, even if you look at our former president Havel's humor, absurd, it's here, it's part of our culture. So they are very much fitting to Czech understanding of humor.
The Tiger Lilies had performed several regular concerts at Archa over the years, before Hrab approached them with the idea of a collaborative project.
We decided that we should do something more, we should do a theatre piece. I came with the idea to do something based on Rabelais, Gargantua and Pantagruel, which was the initial idea, which later developed into something what we can call a Rabelais of 21st century, because there is still this kind of idea of grotesque carnival, the idea which is described by literary scientist Bakhtin as a carnival culture, which means that at least once a year you have the chance to look at the society which is upside down, and it's sort of healthy moment for the society.
The best writers and artists always win the prize. The doctors battle hard to stop you from being alive. The world is upside down.
Once agreement had been reached, the whole project came together rather quickly, says the Tiger Lily's Adrian Stout, who plays double bass, musical saw and theremin, and, by the way, now lives in Prague.
Martin kind of wrote a lot of songs quite quickly, and that kind of spurred Andre into actually turning it from an idea into kind of an actual production, you know, because he gave Martin the source material. Martin kind of wrote the songs quite fast, and a lot faster than Andre was expecting, and then so once he kind of had this set of songs, then he kind of like was spurred into action and then contacted the director, Yuji, and the designer, and then eventually Jocelyn Clark, the sort of dramaturg, came in to kind of sort of oversee the whole thing, and you know, kind of keep a sort of an objective eye, I suppose, on the production, and discuss kind of different ways of interpreting, you know, the way we were going to deliver the song. So it was a kind of a, you know, what once we kind of had, you know, we were the ember, and then kind of the fire was sort of lit kind of fairly fast. Isn't that beautiful? Oh my God, I think I've wet myself. It's so beautiful.
In this carnival, each one wears a mask, and the demons know
Jocelyn Clark, the dramaturg of Here I Am Human, is a young Irish playwright and academic. He outlines his involvement in the project.
The concept, the underlying concept of the show, I came up with, and then it developed and evolved with the director and the actors, and also with the Tiger Lilies. And then in terms of creating texts that the MC of this kind of life transformation show would speak, I made those as well. And then also as a dramaturg, and not only as a playwright, I then help in terms of making the scenes, creating lotsy or gags or routines or jokes. But generally, it's a collaborative affair, you know, and it's a matter of taking all the different inputs and then shaping them into a theatre piece.
Tuto zjevnou nekompatibilitu našich těl můžeme naštěstí snadno vykompenzovat díky široké nabídce erotických, převážně vibračních pomůcek, které jsou vyrobeny přímo.
Alongside the Tiger Lilies playing their songs, Here I Am Human features three Czech actors, two of whom mime, while the other serves as a moderator. His narration has been translated into Czech, a language the Tiger Lilies don't speak. But, says drummer Adrian Huge, not understanding hasn't proven a problem.
Yes, well, I believe, because I only speak three words of Czech, I believe he's explaining very scientific facts about the body, how to remove hair, how to beautify, how to clean out, how to get all the dirty liquids out, all the bodily fluids and things, and they're not very long texts, but they're sort of scientific texts, and luckily we do know roughly what he's talking about.
The short run of Here I Am Human at Divadlo Archa came to a close on Wednesday night, but it is likely to be performed again, says Adrian Stout.
The whole idea is that, you know, we sort of start it here and then probably come back here, but also we would like to take it around to other theatres and other festivals and things. I mean, obviously then the text would have to change. I think, you know, the moderator can speak English, so he probably would switch to English, I would think, and then they would have subtitles for kind of that. But yeah, it's a sort of project because, you know, because we sing in English and we like to tour around a lot of different places, we'd love to be able to take it to some other countries and see how it goes down. And it's good to take a sort of a Czech-English collaboration and then take that to somewhere, you know, somewhere else, like, you know, Germany or Australia or America or somewhere. So, yeah, we're optimistic.
Everything is opposite to what it seems. Everything that's dirty, here it is clean. For here is simply a world that's upside down. Your logic here, all of it will drown. There's a logic in this world.
That edition of The Arts was by Ian Willoughby, and I'm afraid that's all we have time for today. We'll leave you with a song from the Tiger Lilies show at the Arca Theatre. Thanks for joining us, and goodbye.
The actions which appear in your world to be mad, in this world of illogical, rational, not bad. So throw away your prejudices, the world is sane and good. In this world that you see, it can be understood. There's a logic in this world. 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 So rather than on water choke, see clearly that this is God's little joke. When God is feeling a little bit bored, he turns upside down, the sky's now the floor. There's a logic in this world. Oh, there's a logic in this world. Oh, there's a logic in this world. Oh, there's a logic in this world. And twice upside down is back up the right way. Except what is wrong and right, who is to say? So a few times a day, a week, month, or a year, everything that's rational turns suddenly queer. There's a logic in this world. Oh, there's a logic in this world. Oh, there's a logic in this world. Oh, there's a logic in this world. And how long this lasts, of course, no one could say. Perhaps for an aeon, a year, or a day. But one thing's for certain, one thing is sure. This world's upside down will always endure. Cause there's a logic in this world. I said there's a logic in this world. Oh, there's a logic in this world. Oh, there's a logic in this world. There's a logic in this world. There's a logic in this world.